Good morning. It's good to see all of you. It's so nice to see friends out there. So thank you for being here. This summer, we are doing a summer series on God's passions, life verses, and principles. And several among us will be popping up over the next few weeks to share our life experiences and our verses with you. When the elders asked if I could teach today, I knew exactly which verse I would use. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. I knew this was the verse to share because I had been going over and over this verse literally for years, and it had been in my wallet for probably 10 or 15 years. But I knew for sure it was the right life verse to share with you today because a few months ago when we were doing the fully online church, Jill Ludlam was doing a kids' moment, and she started to reference this verse. And my two kids, aged 8 and 10, literally jumped off the couch, yelling at the TV, "That's Mom's verse! Mom, that's your verse!" So I knew that somehow this verse had been tattooed on my life and on their life and everyone who I've encountered's life. So I also clarified afterward that Mrs. Ludlam could also use the same verse. So before I begin to tell you why this is such a significant verse to me, I do want to just pause and start in prayer. God, I praise you. I need your help, and I thank you. I am your child. Each person in this room is your child. We're all on the playground together. Help us to listen and learn and grow together. I ask that my feet would be grounded in your love, your grace, your mercy, and your presence, and that I would be able to just share my experience with you, just a girl telling a story about a good God. So I just pray that your Holy Spirit would move and align the words on the tip of my tongue and help me to share what you have today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be moving in this room and just touching each person's heart and mind to receive what it is that you have specifically for them today. And all God's children said, amen. So several years ago, I came to the realization that I thought I was praying well. I thought that I was connecting with God pretty well. But the realization was that I wasn't, actually. As a lifelong Christian, I was doing all the things, quiet times, Bible studies, Sunday services, helping with church programs, journaling, all those things, right? And I thought that my prayer life was decent. It was fair, okay, fine, enough. But then I realized that if I actually calculated the amount of time of quality connection to God versus the rest of my life, it was really quite minimal and rare and bare and sparse. So that was a sobering realization. And I think in reference to Aaron's sermon last week, that was a point of pride in my life. So I decided that I had to do one of two things. I had to, number one, stop thinking and acting like I was an active, devoted Christ follower who spent significant, meaningful time connecting to God. Or two, I needed to actually spend significant, meaningful time connecting to God. So I decided on option two. At the same time, I decided to run, to train for and run a full marathon. And the timing of these two things was quite perfect because for the next 18 months, I had set aside regular time to consistently focus on developing my physical muscles and now my prayer muscles. So I decided to keep it simple and focus on 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. I wanted to try to actually live out this verse. And I simplified it to praise God, ask for help, thank God, repeat. Praise God, ask for help, thank God, repeat. So by the time I was at the start line for my first marathon, I had about 500 miles of focused, specific training for my body and my prayer life, and I'm a different person today because of that. I'm thankful that I put in the time and the energy to try to connect more and better with God. It shifted everything for me, and I'm so grateful. After the marathon was completed, I took a couple weeks off to rest and restore my physical body, and I remember feeling really disappointed that I would not be able to pray anymore. I was going to miss talking to God. It had been good. But the funny thing is, in the days afterward, while I was vacuuming or doing errands or falling asleep at the end of the day, I found my mind defaulting to, I praise you, please help, thank you. When a friend shared a concern with me that was overwhelming, or I heard the latest discouraging news on the news, my heart and my mind automatically turned to God and started praying. When I saw beauty or connected well with someone, I immediately responded with, thank you, God. Talking to God about everything throughout the day had become my mind's default. So today, I just want to encourage you to try talking to God a little bit more, a little bit better than when you walked in today. I would like to share with you one of my latest prayer patterns. And those of you who've been with us online have seen some of my other prayer ideas through the kids' moments. So here's one more. But before I share with you my look prayer, I want to go over three obstacles that slowed me down when it came to talking to God regularly. And I wonder if some of you have experienced these as well. The first obstacle that I face often is that I'm too busy. And I think this is something, this could be a whole sermon in itself, but just very briefly, I'm going to touch on the concept of fullness and busyness. And I'm going to let you think and meditate on those two concepts. The reality is that we have full seasons of life due to work commitments, school seasons, family responsibilities. These are full seasons, and we can't neglect or set them aside. The difference, I see a difference between fullness and busyness. I would say busyness could be defined as sneaky, empty, time-wasting habits. And I'm not going to list what those might be, but I might suggest that it has something to do with this. So I won't go into detail with this. It's a really cool conversation that we can have later about the difference between fullness and busyness, but let's just consider that and look at our own lives and our schedules and see what is fullness and what is busyness. And the reality is that we can be creative and make time to prioritize what we truly value. So when I think that I'm too busy, I need to pause and check. Am I in a season of fullness, busyness, and how can I get creative talking to God? The second obstacle that I often face is distraction. And I think many of you might also experience this too. I get ready, I start to pray, 20 seconds in, I'm thinking about all the things I have to do, the emails I need to respond to, the laundry that needs to get switched, what time it is, what I need to be doing, and then I realize I'm off somewhere else. I realize that I'm off somewhere else, I come back, I say, dear God, sorry, I'm back. 30 seconds later, I'm off, distracted again. I try again, 40 seconds, 20 seconds, and finally I just give up and quit praying. Am I alone in this? We are so easily distracted, and God understands. But for a while, I felt a lot of frustration, and I felt ashamed about this. But then I read this really helpful quote, and I'd just like to share it with you and let you meditate on that this week. If your mind gets distracted 10,000 times in 20 minutes of prayer, it's 10,000 opportunities to return to God. Thank you, Thomas Keaton, for saying that. I love that. That shifts everything, doesn't it? I start to pray. 20 seconds in, I start thinking about supper. God, I'm back. He says, good. I try to pray again. I get distracted. I realize. I come back. I say, God, I'm back. He says, good. And we just keep trying. We just keep trying. So thank you, God, for your love, your welcome, your grace, your mercy, your reconnection with us every single time. The third obstacle to prayer that I face is that I think there is a right way to pray. Somehow, I got it stuck in my head that prayer was supposed to be at a certain time for a certain length of time with certain words and phrases. This isn't true. And I thought, if I can't do it just right, then I'm not doing it at all. Not true. Jesus definitely gave us an outline with the Lord's Prayer, and he gave us an example by how he lived. He prayed regularly in the morning, in the evening, when he got tired with his disciples. He prayed alone at the temple, outside. He gave us a great example of many different ways to pray, and he gave us a lot of creative ways to pray and connect to him. He's not interested in whether we're connecting with him in a perfect, flawless way. He's more interested in our heart. So facing that obstacle, I started to really come up with my ways, my best ways to pray. And I'd just like to put a list up on the PowerPoint of some of the ways that I've discovered to pray. Rainbow prayer, the Acts prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication prayer. That's the prayer that I grew up with. The Lord's Prayer, five senses prayer, praying while moving your body, walk, run, bike, hike, stretch, write a letter to God, journal, pray through Bible verses, pray through the alphabet, repeat a single word or phrase, color, paint, art of any kind. So there is no right way to pray as long as we're coming to God and talking to him in the way that, any way that we can figure out that works best for us. So today I do want to share with you another idea of how to pray, and I call it the look prayer. It's got three parts: look up, look in, and look out. The first part is look up. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This part of the prayer is where we look up and praise God. We worship God. And Mark and Martin and Dane did an excellent job of this morning. We were worshiping God. We were looking up. We were declaring who he is. This is where I declare that God is God and I am not. I say, God, you are good at being God and I am not. I say, God, you are good, perfect, faithful, friend, healer, helper, able, victorious, capable of doing impossible things. You are the comforter, wisdom, protector, provider, joy, defender, champion, peace, love, grace. I just declare who God is and I worship him. I lift my eyes up to him. And if I have any situations or events or relationships in my life that are in turmoil or difficult or challenging, I look up, and this doesn't diminish what I'm experiencing and my situation, but it helps me gain perspective and right size what's going on in my life when I see how big and good and wonderful God is. So this look up part of the prayer is just praising and worshiping God. Like a sunflower looks up to the sun and follows the sun across the sky, this is what this part of the prayer is. I'm looking up to God, I'm orienting myself to him, and I'm just praising him and declaring who he is. There's a second part to the look up prayer, and this is where I look up to receive guidance and direction and encouragement. When I was in university, I decided that I wanted to run a sprint triathlon. So the winter before the triathlon, I decided to join a community swim club. So a couple times a week, I would go to the pool to do practice, and I would jump in the pool, I would get in my lane, and then I would look up at my coach. And my coach was on the deck, and he had a big whiteboard. And on that whiteboard were several different workouts. They were all in different colors. And so if you were an advanced swimmer working on endurance, you had one section in one color. If you were an intermediate swimmer working on speed, you had a different workout, different color. If you were a beginner swimmer, you had a different workout, different color. So I would look up at the whiteboard and see what the workout was for that day. And just an aside, it was really important that I did my workout and not someone else's workout. And it was really important that I stayed in my lane and did my workout in my lane. So I would look up to this whiteboard, and that was my workout for the day. And I see the same with our day-to-day life with God. I look up to Jesus as my coach, and I ask him, what's on the schedule today? What do you have for me to do? Of all the brokenness in the world, what is my part in fixing it and working on it today? The other thing that my coach would do is, while I was swimming the lengths, he would walk alongside me on the deck, and he would watch me to see how I was doing. And when I got to the end, I would stop, and I would look up to him again, and he would give me encouragement, but he would also give me advice and on my technique or what I could do differently. And as I go through the day, part of this look up prayer is that I'm constantly looking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit for help and guidance as I go through the day. So that's the first part of the look prayer. Look up and praise God. Look up to God as our coach for guidance. The second part of the look prayer is the look in prayer. And I wish these glasses were the kind that the dentists have. Have you been to the dentist lately? They have these cool glasses that have like little, I don't know what they are. I think they're magnifying glasses. And they're like stick out like little googly eyes. And they can see all the things in your mouth that you can't see. So I wish I had those today, but we'll just pretend these are x-ray glasses. The second part of the look prayer is the look in part. And we look in to ourselves to see what's going on. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So this is an opportunity where I just check where I am at physically, mentally, and emotionally. First of all, I check physical. Am I hungry, thirsty, or tired? Then I need to eat something, drink some water, and have a nap. Then I check my thoughts, my feelings, and actions. Are my thoughts and feelings true? Accurate? We know we can't always trust our thoughts and feelings. Are they signaling something? How am I acting and behaving? Actions often reflect our hearts and our motives. One way to kind of scan and check where you are is using the SNAP principle. So SNAP, S-N-A-P. S, stop. N, notice. A, ask. Ask God for help. Ask what's going on. Ask a friend. And then pivot. Respond to what God is suggesting that you in the direction that he wants you to move. So I often do the SNAP scan. I stop, notice, ask, and then pivot. So the look-in prayer is just an opportunity to see where we are and then to align ourselves with God's way. The third part of the look prayer is the look-out prayer. And I wish I had binoculars, but I do have a spyglass. If you are a sailor or, in my kids' world, a pirate, you would be using this to scan, to look out, to see where the treasure is, to see where the island is, to see where the dock is. So you would be looking out. We are all made to serve God and each other. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The Hebrew word for serve means work and worship, which I think is really cool. And when someone asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was of all the commandments, and they had hundreds of commandments, what's the greatest one? Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself." Love and serve God, love and serve others. We were created to do this. So when we're looking out, we see all the needs, all the brokenness, all the things that we could do. And it can be overwhelming, right? How can I help any of this? But I think of Moses, and when he and God were having a talk about Moses heading back to Egypt to save the Hebrew people, Moses said, "I don't know what to do. I can't. Who am I to do this? How do I do this?" And God literally says, "Look in your hand." Moses looks in his hand and he's holding a stick. And if you continue reading in Exodus, you see that that stick was used by God to do impossible, amazing God things. So when I think of looking out and loving and serving others, I look in my hands, what do I have? It doesn't have to be exotic or big. It doesn't even have to be testimonial worthy, just genuine and generous. What's in your hand? Do you see a need? What can you do? What's in your hand? I think of lots of examples. We can just text, call, or write a letter. We all have one of these, and we like to use it. Just a simple smile, a wave, offering to look after your neighbors or your friends' kids for an hour or two while they can focus on doing some tasks. If you've got some money in your pocket, you could buy a $25 Aldi's gift card or gas card to give away to someone who needs it. Tell someone God loves them and that they're valuable. Let someone know that you're specifically praying for them. Invite someone to have lunch with you. What's in your hand? Maybe what's in your hand is a car that you can buy for someone, or a household appliance that you can buy for someone. Maybe it's picking flowers, holding the door, volunteering, making a meal or muffins. What's in your hand? Do you have a listening ear? Do you have an extra 5 minutes to talk to someone? Can you play a game? Can you give someone a ride to an appointment? When we look out, we see the least, the lost, the lonely, the last. And all God is asking us to do is to look in our hands and be generous with whatever we have. So that's the lookout prayer. Look up, look in, look out. So that's just a little glimpse at part of my journey with 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Praying throughout the day is my passion. I have a desperate need to be in connection with God, my creator, rescuer, and coach. Imagine if we were all so desperate to be in connection with God throughout the day. What if we tried to pray more and more throughout the day? What if "I praise you," "please help," "thank you" became our natural reaction to the events and people in our daily lives? How would this alter us? How would this alter the relationships and community around us? So my simple challenge for you today and this week is just try to talk to God a bit more and a bit better. Get creative and have fun with it. I'll have the musicians start coming up. And as they do, I'm just going to close with an example look prayer. I'll just pray as if I'm on my own praying this prayer by myself, just as an example to you, and you can pray along with me. Afterwards, I'll be up front if you have any questions or you're curious about anything I said today. I'd love to talk to you, and I'd love to pray for you. So please feel free to come up afterwards. So I'll just do an example look prayer, and then the musicians will close the service for us today. Please pray with me. God, I look up to you. I orient myself like a sunflower with my face lifted up towards you. You are light. You are love. You are truth. You are God, and I praise you. You are perfect. You are provider, protector. You are the comforter, the healer. You do impossible things. You are wisdom. You are joy. You are champion for the least, the lost, the lonely, and the last. And you are shalom, peace, and wholeness for the whole world. I praise you. You are God. And Coach Jesus, I ask for help. Show me what it is you have for me to do today. What conversations, with which people, who and how am I to interact with people today? Today is a day of rest. Is your workout for me today to rest? Help me to pause and rest. Is there a task you have for me? Show me what it is. Help me to obey you. And as I go throughout the rest of this day, help me to have my eyes and ears open for your encouragement and your direction. Thank you, Coach Jesus. And now I look in at my heart, and I immediately see, I confess, my critical comments that I made last night. Why did I say them? Show me the root of that and help me, transform me. Help me to have compassion and love for this person instead of judging them. And I also feel just a profound gratitude for my family, for my husband, the care and the support that I get from Ben, thank you, and this community, the people who prayed before a church for me for this service, I thank you that this community is so genuine and cares so deeply for one another and for the community. So I thank you. I feel such gratitude. And now I go to the look out prayer. I lift my eyes up and I look out. Show me the least, the lost, the last, and the lonely, and show me what is in my hand and help me to use it. Help me to be sensitive and open and willing and generous. God, I look up to you. Thank you that you are with me, helping me, growing me. And I look out to your world and your people. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all God's children said, amen. Thank you, friends.